God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. The most important part of the meeting, newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would love to welcome you. You can either wave at your camera if it's on or virtually raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands. Well, please don't be shy. At any time during the meeting, feel free to shoot a chat to one of the hosts and we'll hook you up with some phone numbers if you like. And I have asked JT to read the AA preamble. I'll put that up on the screen really quick. Alrighty, JT.
Hello, everybody. I'm JT. I'm an alcoholic. This is the preamble for Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help others, alcoholics, to achieve sobriety. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you so much, JT. Alrighty, the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing Step 12, Part 2. And please join me in welcoming our panel. We have Mike and David. Yay! Thank you guys so much for being here. All right, so I will read the first paragraph, which tonight is found on page 96, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. And just as a recap, step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. All right. So page, what did I say, 96. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. I'll start with David.
Hello, everybody. My name is David Yulian, and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, I'd like to thank the Simple Actions home group for allowing me to come over here and tell my story and speak on these paragraphs. Anyway, I have a home group. It's third door on the left out of Virginia Beach. We meet every Thursday night virtually still at 7 p.m. You can find that link on the Tidewater Intergroup website. Thanks to a God of my understanding, Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 steps, and good sponsorship, I have not had the desire or obsession to drink or do anything else since February 24, 2013. You know, the 12 step is, all the steps are freaking important, obviously. This 12 step is equally as important. And this is why. First step is admitting we're powerless over alcohol and our lives are unmanageable. Step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Step three was I made a decision to turn my life over to the care and God, or care of a God. In that step, in the third prayer, I asked him to relieve me of the bondage of self. Now, what better way to relieve me of the bondage of self than to work with other alcoholics? See, it's pretty freaking simple. All these steps are intertwined in their own little way. And until you do them, you got no idea what the benefit's going to be. You know, I hear in meetings all the time, you know, oh, I'm in meetings to fix myself, or I have to get to a meeting today. I had a horrible day. I got a speeding ticket on the way to work. I got home and I kicked my dog, or my wife is drinking wine with dinner. Heaven forbid her. Doesn't she know I've only been sober for 17 years? How dare she? And, you know, it's just ridiculous, you know, because this program isn't to fix ourselves. It's to free ourselves. And in doing so, we find our rightful place in the usefulness to others. And that's what the whole 12 step is about. It's our usefulness to others. And because of my own drinking experience, I'm uniquely helpful to other alcoholics. It's through the divine spark that God has given to us to help others. As soon as I was able to make that transition from going to meetings for myself and going to meetings to help other people, that's when the miracle begins. That light bulb moment just goes off. And, you know, it's something that you don't want to miss, either through yourself or taking other men or women through these steps. And you don't want to miss this. That's when things change. Anyway, you know, these paragraphs that we're reading, you know, there's a lot of good context. But unless you're in the trenches helping other alcoholics, none of this shit's going to make any sense. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my personal experience as it pertains to this, to the reading. You know, what we're talking about, what this paragraph is talking about, it's instructions or suggestions on how to approach another man or woman or whatever the case might be, you know. And thankfully, when I was in early sobriety, you know, I had a particular set of pages that I was supposed to read. I'm gonna see if I can get this glare off my face. And I remember asking my first sponsor, the guy that took me to these steps, you know, when do I get to read something different? You know, I've read all these pages. It's getting old. It's getting, you know, I got to memorize, you know. When can I read it? When can I read chapter 7, working with others? And his answer was very simple. As soon as somebody asks you for something that you have that they don't have, then you can start reading that chapter. And, you know, it was very simple to me. You know, go to meetings, share the experience. Even if I don't have anything that can help another man in the meeting, I can still pick that man up and get him to a meeting. Just because I haven't had the spiritual awakening, as he talked about in his book, doesn't mean that I'm not useful in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I could go grab guys. I can bring them to guys that are recovered in this program. I can bring them to you know, get other females that I can bring to other recovered females. You know, just because I don't have an experience or this divine spark in AA doesn't mean that I'm not of service in this fellowship. I was put into a cannon and launched into helping other alcoholics before I even knew what the hell was going on in this program. And I'm very fortunate for that experience, because I don't end up going to meetings. It's been a long, long time since I had to go to a meeting for myself, you know, before the shit show started happening in our nation. You know, I go to 4 or 5 meetings, sometimes 6 meetings a week. And I don't go to meetings for me. I don't go to meetings to you know, go to Mexican after dinner or go to hike the Appalachian Trail with other alcoholics. I go to meetings for one reason, to carry the simple message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm thankful that that was embedded in my brain in early sobriety before I had even taken the steps. My place in AA is very simple, to carry the message. Anyway, I'm going to pass with that.
Thanks, Dave. I'm Mike Midget. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Thank you, Dave, and thanks, everybody, for having me here again, two nights in a row, or 2 weeks in a row, man. Either y'all really can't find anybody, or maybe I said something worth a shit. I do have a home group. It is the Sandbridge group. We meet Tuesdays at 8 p.m. When the church opens back up, it'll be at the Sandbridge Community Chapel. But until then, you can catch us on Zoom or on Intergroup. Check it out. It is not as far of a drive as everybody makes it out to be. It's the same distance I drive to go to every other meeting if you drive down there. I have a sobriety date of February 14th, 2017. And no, I did not know it was Valentine's Day at the time. I don't think I knew what year it was. So you don't have to awe me or anything like that. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. My sponsor knows he's my sponsor. I talk to my sponsor every day. I call him every day. And I've been fortunate enough to have sponsees that also call me every day. You know, the 12th step was the first step that walked into my life in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was fresh off putting a 45 in my mouth that didn't go off two times in a row for God knows what idea. And someone kicked in my door with the big book. I had nothing else. I had nothing left. The material stuff was rapidly decreasing. I was giving it away by the handfuls. My wife and my children were gone. My family was barely talking to me, no friends, and the 12th step of this program came kicking in my door and dragged me off the floor. And I think, besides what I've learned since then, that is why this step is so important to me. I have the chance to drag somebody off their deathbed. I have the chance to leave hell and walk right back in without fear, knowing I'm protected. And that is because one thing, I did the 12 steps Alcoholics Anonymous and had the granted spiritual experience that is guaranteed if you do the work. And I found a God and he protects me now. So on to this reading. You know, I like the paragraph before is explained a little more about what happens when you get to this situation. And I like to explain, you know, this was written a long time ago when there weren't any meetings. So a lot of this is based on like a 12-step call. Usually when people are in the rooms, that call's already been made. It's time to get to business. You know, it tells you that if someone comes to you and they're not willing and they're not ready and they're making excuses, it tells you to search out another alcoholic. It sounds harsh, but you know, luckily through good sponsorship, this was explained to me. It's not harsh. I'm depriving myself helping somebody that's on their last leg if I'm wasting my time with somebody that just totally isn't going to do anything. So if I'm making my second visit, he's shown interest, he's reading, he's prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program. It says, having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice, right? I can't sit up on this computer or on a podium at a meeting and tell you anything but the truth from my experience. I don't know many things. I don't know about being a woman. I don't know about being gay. I don't know about being a different color than I am. I don't know shit, but what I know, and that's my experience. And I know the same thing that was taught to me, and that's that I had a meeting with God that I didn't even know I needed, that was there my whole life, that I can arrange for a man that's ready for it. A man that's on his last leg that has been brought to his knees of alcoholism. That's what I can offer. If you ask me about all the other bullshit, I'm a construction guy. I probably don't freaking know. There's nothing I can do. But I can do what was shown to me through the 12th step. And then on top of that, the first part of the 12th step, I can go out and prove that I'm actually doing it without sitting up here talking out of the big book like I know what the hell I'm talking about. I can go to that family that came back to me and try to act like a decent human being. I can go to work and be a decent employee. I can show through my experience that everyone I have hurt and screwed over in my life, that a man can change. And that's powerful to me. Never in my life did I think I'd wake up and want to live. Never in my life did I think I'd wake up and not have any desire to drink alcohol. And where does that come from? That comes from God. That's all I got. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Next reading is on page 98. And it is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
Now, this is a powerful power-packed paragraph. That was hard as shit to say. It starts off, it's not the matter of giving, that is the question. And that tells me something right there, that it's not a choice. It's a choice that I have. But if I choose to live a happy, joyous, and free life till the day that I die, this is not a question. This is something that has to be done. But when and how to give, that often makes the difference between failure and success. And I've been sober almost 7.5 years. I've been sponsoring guys since I was 5 months sober. In that time, I've taken probably 25 or 30 men through these steps. I can't really remember. Of those, say, 25 men, 13 of them remain sober. Of those 25 men I've taken through the steps, I have no idea where they're at. On top of that, I've probably actively sponsored 400 or 500 men. And when I say actively sponsored, I'm not talking about somebody coming up to me before or after the meeting saying, hey, my name is John Smith. Will you be my sponsor? And I never hear from that man again. I'm talking about active sponsorship, a guy that calls me every single day, gets together with me and reads for a week or two, and then all of a sudden he's gone. It's not the matter of when and how to give that often makes a difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work onto a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. Now, this is very important. I always use this line, one of the last line in here. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependency upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but there are promises in chapter 7, the 12 step. You very rarely hear people talking about them because people fucking very rarely 12 step. You know, this program only worked because this program only exists because of this chapter. Thank God nobody told Bill Wilson that you have to be a year or 2 years sober to sponsor people, because we'd all still be drunk. You know, I hear in people coming out of detox and rehab facilities, oh, yeah, how long you been sober? My treatment counselor says you have to be sober for a year. Tell me, go fuck yourself. That's not how this program works. This is a program of action. And thankfully, like I said before, it was burned into my head early in sobriety that if I want to maintain complete sobriety until the day I die, all 12 steps have to be taken and continue to be taken. Now, one of the lost and forgotten promises in chapter 7, working with others, is just this. We simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependence upon people ahead of our dependence upon God. This is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. We, as Alcoholics Anonymous, I do not save people. It's very simple. Surgeons don't heal people. They create an antiseptic environment to let God heal. Farmers don't grow. They create a nutrient-rich environment that allows God to grow. People in AA, recovered alcoholics, myself, I do not help people recover. I create an environment through a program of action that allows God to work. It is very simple. Now, through doing so, I can maintain this life of enjoyment and happiness. And I'm not saying every waking minute of my life is freaking peaches, because sometimes life just sucks. You know, a couple years ago, my wife and I, we lost 6 people in 1 year, family members and friends. Every other month we're going to a funeral. That was tough. The end of last year, I buried one of my best friends and my dog 2 weeks apart. That was tough. Thank God I have this step working in my life. Because when I am consumed in myself, I am in a dark abyss. And that abyss, and this is my experience, I sponsor a lot of men still actively. So at a particular time in the afternoon, my phone starts ringing. And it rings damn near every 30 minutes, at some points every 15 minutes, for about 5 hours. So that means every single day, I am brought out of this abyss of self to try to help other people. And thank God for the 12 step, because if it wasn't a part of my life, these promises probably, I don't know. I'm not going to say they wouldn't have come true, but I don't know how long it would have taken. Anyway, that's it.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I like what Dave hit on. It's not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how. You know, I remember one of the first things my sponsor told me was, you know what I expect you to do in this program, Mike? And I was sitting there thinking, like, what does he expect me to do after what I've heard so far? He said, I expect you to drink. You're an alcoholic, and that's what you're meant to be doing right now. I don't want you to drink. It's a miracle if you don't drink. But that's what I expect of you. And, you know, not until I started sponsoring people did I understand the power of that statement, right? I'm not here to coddle people, right? I'm not here to love on them and pat them on the back and tell them it's just going to be all good. That's not my job. It is in that relationship where someone does what it's talking about. They place their dependence on you. And in the same situation, I had to learn it the hard way. I had a little shining star that was doing everything, and I just got so butthurt when he walked away from the program because I lost that mindset that I was expecting him to drink. He was my little shooting star, right? So it's very important. We've got to separate and make sure that your reliance and dependence is on God. It says we are beyond human aid, right? You know, when these Zoom meetings first started, I didn't really like them a lot. And I had to sit down and I had to pray and I had to think. And, you know, what kept coming to my mind is, Mike, you have one job in this program when you go to the meeting, and that's to share a message of hope. Right now, you've got one option to do it, and that's on the computer. So I had to step up to the plate and do that, right? And I explained to my guys, you know, and that's, thankfully, all of them have been surprisingly strong through all this because of that statement right there. They placed their dependence on God. They didn't place their dependence on going into the meeting and drinking a cup of coffee and hugging everyone. You know, although that's nice, don't get me wrong, they're not depending on a face-to-face alcoholics meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, to save their life. Just like I'm not. In all actuality, this might get taken wrong, my game does not change in this situation. And I've found ways to hopefully reach other people and broader spectrums. I mean, when I shared with Larry last week, he's sponsoring people from out of state and taking them through the steps. I mean, how fucking cool is that? When would we have had that opportunity in all our hectic, busy lives to just go drive five states away and go meet some random newcomer and say, hey, you want to do this deal? You know, we might have deferred them to someone else. Hey, I'm not going to be right there, you know. But this gives us the opportunity. Gives us the opportunity to branch out and share the same message. We have a common problem and a common solution. And no matter if I'm face-to-face with you on a computer, on a phone, back then they got excited when they could mail the message to someone. I mean, they'd trip out if they saw this. I'd probably have to go back and see Dr. Willis, Dr. Silkworth. Man, I think I'm hallucinating. There's a bunch of squares on my screen and I can talk to all of them. But it is, you know, I learned early on there was three major parts that were summed up: trust God, clean house, and help others. And if you don't do it in that order and you don't continue to do it, this thing comes right back. That's all I got on that one. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. And on page 98, now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
I'm going to pass on this because I have absolutely nothing to say on it. But I bet I know who does.
Thanks. The domestic problem, like I mentioned earlier, when I came into this program, you know, I had given away everything in my life. My kids, my wife, my house was being taken. And that wasn't what brought me to my knees. What brought me to my knees was the internal condition. When my internal life was so dark that I was incapable of. I'd very easily blame things on other people, so that's what I do. But I was incapable of love. I was incapable of life. And it was a struggle at the beginning. And, you know, my sponsor kept telling me anytime I asked about anything or anything, he was breeding me for the 12th step, right? He'd cut me off. What have you done to help someone today? And every time I was in that mode, I'd scratch my head and say, shit, I ain't done nothing to help anybody. Tried to help myself and solve my problems a lot. And, you know, it was very nasty what I was going through domestically, rightfully so, because I had held my family prisoner to this for years. You know, if I could work and be successful and build up the house and like the little Facebook picture family, I call it, that would just fuel my fire to justify everything going on. Now, when that's all gone and I actually have time to think and I actually learn that all these problems are of my making, you know, my sponsor told me, hey, as painful as it is, you've got to let them go right now. It was the best advice I ever had. I didn't let them go, but I let the problems go, right? I let them go and I got busy into the program, got busy into the action. And it didn't take long. I grew up in Virginia Beach, right? Everybody noticed I wasn't around. Everyone noticed a change rapidly. And, you know, shortly after taking the steps and sponsoring people, and my wife became interested in conversating with me, or what was soon to be my ex-wife. And out of nowhere, when I had let this whole thing go, they came back. It doesn't happen for everyone, but I see it happen with a lot of men. Now, I didn't deserve that at all. I don't deserve a lot this program's given me. But God helped me through it. And God let me clean my house, you know, once I trusted him. And he let me reform a relationship with my kids and my wife and my family. You know, we got in an argument the other day. I was super busy at work. I think I only picked up one of my sponsees' phone calls, which I rarely do. And, you know, life got to me. When she said something and I fucking went off, I don't even know what I said. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you can still be the nastiest person on the face of this earth. And I took a deep breath and said, holy shit, I can. You know, there's a part in the book that says the alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Well, that unlovely creature is fully, fully alive inside of me when I don't do everything I'm supposed to be doing. But, you know, also on that, with this program, I easily mended the situation, right? I was able to do everything the book has taught me to do, my sponsors taught me to do, and we sat down and talked for 3 hours. And it was beautiful. You know, I've 14 years of marriage before that, I don't think I ever talked to my wife for 3 hours. And that's just one of the gifts this program, you know, gives me and gives people that I see. But that's all I got on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Moving on to page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. David?
Here we go again with another must. Must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. That's not saying that every day I'm going to be spiritual, because I'm not very spiritual right now. But it says that if you persist, that means that I have to try to do better. Every day that I wake up, I try to be better than I was yesterday. I'm going to try to be better tomorrow than I was today. And as of right now, I've been better today than I was yesterday. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Now, I remember when I first got here, and you know, I had a very small outlook on life. Things weren't so great in my life, as I'm sure they were in a lot of other people's case. The guy that I sponsor, I know they, you know, our stories line up. You know, my man Kent C. from Sandusky, Ohio says, you know, I've never seen anybody roll up onto the doorsteps of Alcoholics Anonymous in an $100 bills driving a brand new Range Rover. It just doesn't happen. People come here busted. And that was my experience too. You know, years and years and years of chronic alcoholism and drug addiction drug me into these rooms. And it was not my experience to come in and out of these rooms for years. I wasn't done until February the 24th, 2013. I never had any affiliation, never been to an AA meeting, never even wanted to go to an AA meeting until it was time. One of the little stupid sayings I hate in AA, I don't hate, that I disagree with, is you're only late to your first meeting. How the hell do you know what I was late to? You know, I understand that everybody, that people are alcoholic and we all have our own little, you know, our own little things. But how do you know what I needed in my life? You know, I mean, you don't know. So that's, I just don't agree with that. You're only late to your first meeting, because I'm calling bullshit. I was right on time to my first meeting. Had I showed up any earlier, I might have said, this program, I'm out of here. Had I made a decision to not come here on that date, I'd probably be in prison, because that's where I was headed for. You know, if you've never heard my story, it's pretty simple. The best idea that I had prior coming to AA to relieve me of the bondage of alcoholism was to take another human being's life. That way I'd get locked up in prison and I'd never have to drink again. That was a legit valid idea that I was, no pun intended, getting ready to execute the day before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank God I went to Virginia Beach Psychiatric Center and they introduced me to the program of AA. It saved my life and I'm very grateful for that. When we look back, we realize that things which came to us in this program, when we put ourselves in God's hands, were better than anything we could have planned. Now, my whole world when I got to AA was very small. It was based around going to work, coming home, and doing my thing, drinking and using. The very next day, going to work, coming home, doing my thing. That's all my life. I had lost all my hobbies. I love to fish. I love to hunt. I love to play basketball. I love to surf. I like to golf. I love the outdoors. I just love being outside. All those things were lost, and they had been lost for a long time. So I remember when I got here, you know, my outlook was very small. And as I progressed in this program, as I took the steps and I had this divine spark enter into my life, I lost a lot of the what ifs and I wish I could. And I made a plan. You know, I set a 1-year goal. I set a 5-year goal. I set a 10-year goal. And I have achieved the 1 and the 5. The 10, I'm approaching. And we'll see if I hit when I get there. I got a few more years to go. But I didn't set those goals too far, you know, like these ridiculous New Year's resolutions, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to travel the world or I'm going to sail the whatever, you know. I set a goal that was attainable through some work. I don't want to set a goal too low for myself because I'm still ultra competitive. A lot less competitive than when I got here, but I'm still competitive. And I love to compete with myself. That's what makes life so fun for me. That if I don't hit a goal, then I get to set a new goal and I get to try a little bit harder. And I try a little bit harder. I come from a small little town called King George County, which is about 2 hours and 45 minutes northwest of here. And all the residents of King George County, we all grew up together, and we all did the same things together. We went to school together. We fished together. We played ball together. It was a great community. And that was in a time, that was in the 80s and 90s, when they didn't have participation trophies. You actually had to work for something. You had to achieve a goal. And in order to get there, you had to practice and you had to work for it. And I think the same thing goes today. So these things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. I told my guys all the time, the guys that sponsor, I'm like, look, you know, the things that have entered into my life, materialistic and the other things, spiritual well-being and mental well-being, I couldn't even have dreamt of those things. Those are things I did dream of before I got into AA. And they were completely unreachable when I got here. And through following the steps and taking action and doing the action, these things that were beyond, they're just dreams, they have actually entered in my life. They're taking simple actions. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. And that's pretty simple. The dictates of a higher power, the 12 steps, treat people accordingly. You know, do certain things, you know. I mean, I can't, it's just very simple. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm going to pass.
All right. Enough of the sappy shit. I'm sick of crying. Got me last time. Both you and the new man must, just like Dave said, walk day by day. You know, when I finally got dropped to my knees of alcoholism, I finally had the balls to ask another man for help. He asked me three questions. One, are you an alcoholic? Yes, because if I wasn't an alcoholic, he couldn't sponsor me. It was the program Alcoholics Anonymous. Two, was I willing to go to any length for a victory over alcohol? Absolutely. Mike's way didn't work. It was apparent. Three, what time can you call me every day? And he said a time, right? Tells us alcoholics are undisciplined. It also tells us only God can discipline us, but it was a good start for a guy like me. Now, this man knew he must walk day by day, shoulder to shoulder with me, right? What better way to know exactly what someone's going through than talking to them every day? You know, my phone starts ringing at 4 o'clock on the dot, and I don't get off of it till 8. I haven't had a uninterrupted time with my kids, dinner, work, or anything since I've been sponsoring people. And that is just not a pain in the ass to me, because it does what the bottom of this says. It says if I follow it, I'm going to have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what it does, because every time they call me, they're helping me more than I'm helping them. That few brief minutes we talk, or even if it's a few seconds, it's a few seconds that Mike is not thinking about Mike. I'm not thinking about myself. And my life is freaking great now. I've got a good relationship with my kids. I've got a good relationship with my wife, my parents. I get to be a son. I get to be a father. I get to be an employee. I get to do everything. I sat drunk talking like I was so cool and gonna mastermind a plan to do it. I actually do them now. It's pretty cool. I don't save it for the next night to talk about it again. I get to do things. But let's get to the next reading. It's good stuff.
Awesome. Thanks. Staying on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. Dave?
Assuming we are spiritually fit, which when writing this book, they're planning for you, for the reader, to be at the point when you are at this point in the reading, they're assuming that you have already taken the steps. In doing so, you are put into a position, I am put into a position of neutrality, safe and protected from alcohol. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. And I'm not going to continue to read all this, but this is the absolute truth. You know, the obsession to drink and my, you know, the being around alcohol, giving me the heebie-jeebies and, you know, being all willy-nilly, walking in 7-Eleven with my blinders on, that, oh my God, I can't look at Budweiser, or whatever the case might be. That shit left me long ago. And I'll tell you exactly when. As soon as I got busy doing AA, the 12 steps relieved me of that stuff. I went through these steps in a rapid fashion, created something inside of me, the divine spark, that put me in a position of neutrality. I don't have to avoid things. I have more booze in this house now than I ever had in any place I've ever lived ever before. Mainly because I don't drink it. However, it's not all about me. There's a part in here that it talks about, you know, when we go to these places, you know, if we go to a picnic or we go somewhere, you know, the Marine Corps ball or whatever it is, you know, these things that I have to do, I don't have to, but I accompany my family and my friends too. I don't have to avoid the alcohol now. I don't have to make it all about myself. I make it about what I can bring to the table. How can I make this party better? What can I do at this particular location to improve the setting? That's what I think about. I'm not consumed about, oh, avoid alcohol. I can go to the bars. I don't choose to because I'm not exactly the most sociable type, but I do go there every once in a while to eat delicious Parmesan garlic chicken wings or do whatever, you know, drink some sweet tea with some of the guys or my sponsor, whatever the case might be. Go to professional football games, go to baseball games, go to basketball game, whatever, you know, places that alcohol is served. I've been to the liquor store more in the last 7 years than I did the last 10 years I was drinking because I was so scared to go in there because people would know I'm high on drugs. I always had other people go into there for me, and this is my experience again. I don't suggest this to the new man or woman, but the point is I don't have to hide from booze anymore. I get to be a part of, and that's what this whole thing is about. It's about getting out of myself to see where I could be of service to other people, not just alcoholics. Now, again, this is where I'm of maximum service to other alcoholics because I have the experience. Pass.
I know. I glimpsed at this before and I was laughing because I remember Dave and I were early to a meeting. We went into a bar to get some chicken wings, delicious chicken wings, as he would say. And we came out and there was a group of people standing outside the meeting. They like grabbed me up. Oh my God, Mike, are you all right? And I was like, what do you mean? I was having chicken wings. And it immediately brought me to like, holy shit, people are like really not on spiritual ground around here. Like they would not even step foot in that place. And it baffled me, right? You know, in early sobriety, I had one of my best friends that I grew up with, and he was getting married and having a bachelor party, and he was one of the only people that talked to me through all this, right? Through my highs and my lows and everything, and I was his best man, and I was excited about it. And you know what I got to do? I got to sit down and honestly tell my wife, you know, we're going to Florida, we're going on this hunting trip. It's a bachelor party. We're going to go to the strip bar, all this, you know, and one, not have her worry for the first time. And two, I got to go. And I mean, I did everything. sorry for the ladies in the room. I poured whiskey down strippers' butts so they could drink it. And, you know, I poured shots down their throat. It didn't affect me because my sponsor asked me one question before I left. Are you on solid spiritual ground? And I said, yes, sir. And I was. And you know what was so beautiful out of it? I had these guys that drink like I did, that their whole life revolves around drinking, and they were telling me, you make sober look fun. I could have never done that in my life. I could have never gone anywhere without drinking. But I was completely unaffected. And just like Dave's saying, I can go in a store, do anything. It doesn't bother me. And that's because I did the instructions. I followed the instructions. And I know we're running out of time. So the last thing is, does everybody know what makes you capable of sponsoring someone in this program? It's take the steps. I have my guys all the time, they'll take the steps and somebody will talk to them after the meeting. They'll go, Mike, talk to them, I'm just ready. God tells you you're ready. If you took the steps, that's all it is. You're on somebody else exactly how your sponsor showed you. It's not that hard. You can't be so full of self that you're not going to do it because you're scared you're going to fuck something up. I spent my whole life screwing things up. And I'm still probably not the best sponsor ever. And I'll never be. But I know about alcoholism. I'm properly armed with the facts about myself. And I can show another man and read with another man. And if this book relates to him, I can arrange that meeting for him, just like my sponsor did me. And thank y'all for having me. It was a great meeting. Great to share next to my sponsor and my grandpappy. That's all.
Thank y'all so much for sharing tonight. We are unfortunately about out of time. There'll be an opportunity at the end of the meeting for everyone to unmute themselves and thank Mike and David. So I encourage you to stick around for that. Alrighty, the seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And David has again shared the PayPal link that we have created for our home group. And currently that money is going to the service structure. A note about our common welfare. Word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. At this time, are there any AA-related announcements that anybody has? You can just, I was going to say you can unmute yourself, but I don't think you can. I don't see any virtual hands or raised hands. I will announce that our Sunday speaker meeting at 7 p.m. will be meeting this coming Sunday. We are hosting Mike B. from the mountains of North Carolina to share his harrowing tale. Honestly, he's the first speaker I ever heard, and he is phenomenal. So if you want to get fired up, please join us at 7 p.m. this coming Sunday. And he's going to share his story, and afterwards you'll have an opportunity to ask him any questions you might want to know the answer to. So hope to see you there. And I don't think I saw anybody else with their hand raised, so I'll move on. Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. Thanks. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of us who raised our hands. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, some of us will be available in the Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please, please stick around to talk with us, or you can feel free to email us at info@simpleactions.net. And Bobby C. has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. I'll pull that up for you, Bobby. One sec.
Okay, I got it right here.
Alrighty.
Okay. Here's Bobby, an alcoholic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.
Thanks so much, Bobby. And thanks to all who participated this evening, especially Mike and David. Thank you guys so much. You now will have the ability to unmute yourselves to join in the Lord's Prayer and then afterwards thank the speakers. All right, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.